Welcome to the Inspired Word of God. I'm Marcia. The title of this message is Not by Bread Alone. Lord, make this message plain. Allow each heart within the sound of my voice to contemplate it. Amen. Deuteronomy 8:3. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So in chapter 7 and chapter 8, we will hear a lot of things that Moses is reminding the people that God wants them to do, and those things that he does not want them to do. In chapter 7, the Lord was instructing Moses about the different nations. There were 7 nations that the Israelites would gain victory over. And these 7 nations were greater and mightier than Israel. But the Lord wanted Moses to understand that they should not be afraid, because he would be with them. And because he was with Israel, they would have the victory. He assured them that as he delivered each nation to them, their community would have victory, because he was keeping his oath to the fathers. He told them to destroy everything with each nation that they encountered, burn their idols, and take nothing. He told them not to take the silver and the gold, because it was an abomination to him. And it says in Deuteronomy 7:9 through 11, understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. But he does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who reject him. Therefore, you must obey all these commands, decrees, and regulations I am giving you today. They were not to marry their sons and daughters to the sons and daughters of those people that they were going to conquer, because the Lord said they would become ensnared by them. They would take up idol worshiping, and they would turn away from him. He told them in chapter 8 to remember him when they were in Canaan. He explained the wandering in the wilderness was to humble them. The 40 years they wandered, their clothes never rotted off of them, and their feet never did swell in their shoes. He wanted them to remember the judgments, the statutes, and the commands that he has given them once they were in Canaan. So what does all of this have to do with not living by bread alone? In the wilderness, the people grumbled against the Lord because they were hungry. They had no food. So they complained to Moses and Aaron, as they often did. And God sent them manna from heaven, bread, to nourish them, to nourish their bodies. And he gave them quail so they would have meat to have in the evening. We often think that as long as we have food in our belly to sustain us, that we will survive and all will be well. But God says, man shall not live by bread only, but by his word that comes from his mouth. These individuals wandering in the desert for 40 years They had to wander because they complained and murmured and they were disobedient. But it was also a testing for them, a testing time for them to build character, listen to God, and become obedient to Him. God is the one who appointed Moses and his brother Aaron to do the work. So Moses was the messenger. But God, He is the one who is in control, and He was the one in control back then. So He was the one that made those things happen for them or against them, according to how they acted. It tells us in Exodus 16, 2 and 3, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And it says in Exodus 16:12-35, this is the Lord talking, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At evening you shall have flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." Psalms 78:23-25, "Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full." And Psalms 105:40 says, "The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with bread of heaven." So God rained manna or bread from heaven, and it was found on the ground every morning, and they were to gather a certain amount. He gave them instructions to gather a certain amount of the manna according to the number of people that lived in their tent. And each day when the sun got hot, it melted the manna, and there would be no more till the next day. Exodus 16:4 says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." This was a test also. Were they going to go and be obedient and do it the way the Lord told them to do it, or were they going to be disobedient once again? They were told not to gather more than what they needed for each member in the tent. Some of them obeyed. Some were disobedient, and when they gathered the excess, the next morning had worms and it stank, so it was no good. But on the sixth day, they were to gather twice the amount. The amount for day six and the amount for day seven, because on the seventh day, they were to rest, so there would be no work that day. That was the only time they were allowed to gather an excess of the manna. But then again, there were those who went out on day seven, still looking on the ground to see if they could find manna. In Exodus 16:27-30, it tells us, "Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. The Lord asked Moses, How long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a two-day supply on the sixth day, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the seventh day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the seventh day. So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. So they had to actually go out there looking for the food and see that there was none before they got it in their head that they need to obey. Why would you go against what he says and do it your way? And that's the problem that many of us have. That's the problem they had in the Old Testament. That's the problem we have in present day. God's instructions did not stop with the Ten Commandments. He gave many instructions, many judgments throughout the Bible. He expects us to listen and obey them. You can read about the manna in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verse 1 through 36. It says in Deuteronomy 8:1, "Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." God could have piled the manna high on the ground and kept it fresh continuously so that the people only had to go and grab what they needed to make their loaves of bread from one day to the next. But he didn't do it that way. Instead, he gave them a certain amount to gather daily, cook, and eat. They were supposed to do this in obedience because they were supposed to trust that God had their backs. In our present day, it is no different. Trust that God has our back. And when we want something and we ask, we need to trust that he will hear us and he will deliver. Luke 12:29 through 31 says, "And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need." Most of the time, we are not aware that we are walking through a test. When a crisis hits, we just fold up and crumble, and we cry out to the Lord to fix it, to help us. But there are times when we go through something because he is wanting to build our character. It doesn't mean that you can't call out to him and ask for help. There is something you need to learn in walking through that crisis. How you handle your emotions, who you talk to about it, or do you immediately take it to God? Are you trusting him and waiting for him to give you an answer to help you through it? And a lot of times when we go through a crisis, it's an immediate kind of thing where we are short on time. We need it to take place right here, right now. But it doesn't matter how short a time that crisis is that needs to be met. If you're trusting God to handle that for you, he will smooth it over, correct the situation, and it will turn out okay. But it's how you handle it in the first place, based on your actions and your attitude. But if you are one of those people who are disobedient all the time, murmur and complain, and you do not trust God, why would he bless you? God is in control. He has laws that we must follow. There are choices we must make as individuals who has been given free will. And if we are going to be disobedient and have an attitude that we're going to do things our way, we're not going to make it. The Israelites murmured and complained, were disobedient, and those who did all that died off before God gave them their inheritance of Canaan. Our inheritance will be heaven. God expects us to get our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual selves in shape according to His specifications. If that happens, we will live eternally with Him and be blessed beyond anything we could ever imagine. Psalms 104:27-31 tells us, they all depend on you to give them food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are richly satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust. When you give them your breath, life is created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord continue forever. The Lord takes pleasure in all He has made. And that includes us, His creation, people. So if He takes pleasure in everything that He has made, why would He not take pleasure in us? Here's food for thought. We often speak about our loved ones who have passed on. And while it's not for me personally to put anyone into heaven, because from my own personal opinion, I believe that only that person and God knows where their destination is going to be eternally. But I've heard many people say that they know their loved one is in heaven for conversation's sake. And if that is true, what are you doing regarding your salvation so that you can make it there and see them again and be with them eternally? Luke 4:4. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. My closing prayer. Lord, allow fresh manna in the form of your word to fall on the spirits and the heart of your children. May each of us take inventory of our lives and recognize that if we are not living life your way, then let us repent so we can do it your way. Many people live with sin in their lives daily, and they take life for granted. They actually believe they will make it into eternity with you if they were to die suddenly. I ask you to make it plain in their hearts what you expect of them, and that once saved is not always saved. Good deeds will not open the door to heaven. And being a generally good person who's kind and thoughtful is not going to cut it. It's true repentance, and it's truly walking by your word and doing things your way. May they understand that they must live by the word that comes from your mouth. In the name of Jesus, amen.